ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 33, Activities of Kapila, Text Number 6. Yana mateya shravananu kirtanad yapravanad yat smaranad apikvachit swadopi sadya savanaya kalpate kuta punaste bhagavanu darshanat yana mateya swavananu kirtanat yat pravanad yat smaranad api kvachit swadopi sadya savanaya kalpate kuta punaste bhagavanu darshanat yana mateya swavananu kirtanat yat prahvanat yat smaranat api kvachit swadopi sadya savanaya kalpate kuta punaste bhagavanu darshanat. Yat, of whom? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namadeya, the name. Shravana, hearing. Anukirtanat, by chanting. Yat, to whom? Bhavanat, by offering obeisances. Yat, whom? Smaranat, by remembering. Api, even. Kvachit, at any time. Swa adaha, a dog eater. Api, even. Sadyaha, immediately. Savanaya, for performing Vedic sacrifices. Kalpate, becomes eligible. Kutaha, what to speak of. Punaha, again. Te, you. Bhagavan, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nu, then, Dasanat, by seeing face to face. To say nothing of the spiritual advancement of persons who see the Supreme Person face to face, even a person born in a family of dog eaters immediately becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him. Purport. Herein, the spiritual potency of chanting, hearing, or remembering the holy name of the Supreme Lord is greatly stressed. Rupa Goswami has discussed the sequence of sinful activities of the conditioned soul. And he has established in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that those who engage in devotional service become freed from the reactions of all sinful activities. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. The Lord says that he takes charge of one who surrenders unto him, and he makes him immune to all reactions to sinful activities. If by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes so swiftly cleared of all reactions to sinful activities, then what it is to be said of those persons who see him face to face? Another consideration here is that persons who are purified by the process of chanting and hearing become immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. Could you get me the nectar of devotion from that, please? Generally, only a person who is born in a family of brahmanas who has been reformed by the 10 kinds of purificatory processes and who is learned in Vedic literatures is allowed to perform the Vedic sacrifices. But here the word sadhyaha immediately is used. And Sridhar Swami also remarks that one can immediately become eligible, and immediately is in italics. Right? Immediately. Become eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. A person born in a family of the low caste, which is accustomed to eat dogs, is so positioned due to his past sinful activities, but by chanting or hearing once in pureness or in an offenseless manner, he is immediately relieved of the sinful reaction. Not only is he relieved of the sinful reaction, but he immediately achieves the result of all purificatory processes. Taking birth in the family of a brahmana is certainly due to pious activities in one's past life, but still, a child who is born in a family of a brahmana depends for his further reformation upon initiation into acceptance of a sacred thread and many other reformatory processes. But a person who chants the holy name of the Lord, even if born in a family of chandalas, dog eaters, does not need reformation. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, he immediately becomes purified and becomes as good as the most learned brahmana. Sridhar Swami especially remarks in this connection, Anena pujatvam lakshyate. Anena pujatvam lakshyate. Some caste brahmanas remark that by chanting Hare Krishna, purification begins. Of course, that depends on the individual process of chanting, but this remark of Sridhar Swami's is completely applicable if one chants the holy name of the Lord without offence, for he immediately becomes more than a brahmana. As Sridhar Swami says, Pujyatam, he immediately becomes as respectable as a most learned brahmana and can be allowed to perform Vedic sacrifices. If simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord one becomes sanctified instantly, then what can be said of those persons who see the Supreme Lord face to face and who understand the descent of the Lord as Devahuti understands Kapiladev? Usually initiation depends on the bona fide spiritual master, who directs the disciple. If he sees that a disciple has become competent and purified by the process of chanting, he offers a sacred thread to the disciple just so that he will be recognized as 100% equal with a brahmana. This is also confirmed in the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sri Sanatan Goswami. As a base metal, like bell metal, can be changed into gold by a chemical process. Any person can similarly be changed into a brahmana by Diksha Vidhan, the initiation process. Shouldn't that read by an achemical process? This is how it's written in a lot of other places, by an achemical process, right? Not by a chemical process. There's a difference. It's not exactly a chemical process. Otherwise, if it was a chemical process, people would be doing it all the time. But it's an achemical process, Prabhupada mentioned. It's in other places. It is sometimes remarked that by the chanting process, one begins to purify himself and can take birth in his next life in a Brahmana family and then be reformed. But at this present moment, even those who are born in the best Brahmana families are not reformed. Ooh, this is very heavy. Prabhupada says in this paragraph's quite heavy, if you think about it. At this present moment, even those who are born in the best Brahmin families are not reformed, nor is there any certainty that they are actually born of Brahmin fathers. Well, there's a reason. It's easily understood, actually. Formerly, the Garbhadhana reformatory system was prevalent, but at the present moment, there is no such Garbhadhana or seed-giving ceremony. Under these circumstances, no one knows if a man is factually born of a Brahmin father. Whether one has acquired the qualification of a Brahmana depends on the judgment of the bona fide spiritual master. He bestows upon the disciple the position of a Brahmana by his own judgment. When one is accepted as a Brahmana in the sacred thread ceremony, under the Pancharatrika system, then he is Dvija, twice born. That is confirmed by Sanatana Goswami, Dvija Tvam Jayate. By the process of initiation by the spiritual master, a person is accepted as a Brahmana in his purified state of chanting the holy name of the Lord. He then makes further progress to become a qualified Vaishnava, which means that the Brahminical qualification is already acquired. Oma Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakchu Unmilitam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Tatatisva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. Look at that. There is a chain of sinful reactions. What is the source of sinful reactions? Ignorance, yes, ignorance. Avidya. And Prabhupada says here, ignorance is no excuse for evading the reaction. Sinful activities are of two kinds. And Prabhupada refers to this here. He says, Rupa Goswami has discussed the sequence of sinful activities of the conditioned soul, and he has established in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that those who engage in devotional service become freed from the reactions of all sinful activities. And what's the verse that he uses as evidence for this? This verse. Yeah, this verse. Sinful activities are of two kinds, mature and not mature. The sinful activities for which we are suffering at the present moment are called mature. Prarabdha karma, right? That which we are suffering at the moment. And there are those which remain or lie in a seed form, right? Bija. I was looking for prarabdha, but it's the reason why I couldn't find it is because it's not actually here. The many sinful activities stored within us for which we have not yet suffered are considered immature. For example, a man may have committed criminal acts but not yet been arrested for them. As soon as he is detected, arrest is awaiting him. Similarly, for some of our sinful activities, we are awaiting distresses in the future, and for others which are mature, we are suffering at the present moment. Huh? And he's creating more sinful activities. Mature sinful activities are exhibited if one is suffering from some chronic disease, legal implications, born in a low and degraded family, or if one is uneducated or very ugly. But, and here's the point, but all of these reactions to sinful deeds can immediately be stopped if we take to Krishna consciousness. And then Rupa Goswami quotes this verse, Yanama Deya Swavananu Kirtanad Yat Pravanad Yat Smaranad Api Kuchit Svado Svado Pi Sadya Savanaya Kalpate Kuta Punaste Bhagavan Nudarachanat. So, then Prabhupada says here, this is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Savadharmam parityajya mamekam saranam raja. So It depends on surrender. Those who engage in devotional service become freed from the reactions of all sinful activities. So this really is dependent upon following the path of bhakti, and bhakti depends on surrender. One surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna makes him immune to all reactions to sinful activities. And what Devahuti is comparing this to is the benefit that one gets from from associating with the Lord. So the point being, if one just chants the holy name and, hears the holy name, Shravana, right? Shravana anukirtanat namadeya, Shravana, if one hears the name. And you can see that the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya works on these principles, right? Works on this principle. And this is why going out and chanting Hare Krishna is so important, right? Because the power of the holy name, it is as good, and this is the point that Devahuti is making, it's as good as seeing Krishna face to face. Huh? It's as good as being with Krishna. Powerful stuff. Right, so just hearing the holy name. We get a hint of it. And this is the potency of the Sankirtan mission, the Sankirtan movement. And you get a hint of it, or you get a glimpse of it. When we go on Harinam, there's always that trepidation, that kind of fear, what's going to happen? Because sometimes people chanting Hare Krishna are not very popular, especially with the demons, right? The asuras, the atheists. So you can never be quite sure what's going to happen when you go out and chant Hare Krishna. Don't be surprised what happens. Because in one sense, we're carrying Krishna in a form of the holy name. Nam nam akari bahu. What's that verse? Nam nam akari bahu. Yeah, sarva shakti. So all potency is carried. Krishna's potencies, all of his potencies are carried in the form of his name. So it looks like a very simple, you know, innocuous activity. But actually, we're delivering Krishna in the form of his name to everyone. It's very magnanimous. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayati. And along with it comes Krishna Prema. We experience that when we chant Hare Krishna. And so there's a little fear, a little trepidation. But when we become absorbed in the chanting of Hare Krishna, and it's the Yuga Dharma, it is ordained, it is sanctioned by Krishna himself, and Krishna comes in the form of Lord Chaitanya to show by example, this is the methodology, this is the practice of the age, is to go out and chant Hare Krishna, right? Not that we stay at home and just study the Bhagavad Gita. It's good that we should study the Bhagavad Gita. But if we understand the Bhagavad Gita And the explanations given to us by the Acharyas, especially in our line, then we should also put aside time to go out and chant loudly for the benefit of others. For this reason here, people just have to hear the holy name to derive great benefits, right? Especially if it's delivered by the devotees who are pure-hearted. And you know, generally speaking, if we're out chanting Hare Krishna, then that's a symptom of purity, because it means that the devotees understand Krishna's mission. Or if we're out on book distribution, Srila Prabhupada, you know, in the beginning of the movement, Srila Prabhupada encouraged the devotees to chant Hare Krishna. But Prabhupada was putting so much effort into publishing books, right? The years prior to coming to America, Prabhupada put so much energy into printing books. So one might wonder, how do we equate printing books with chanting? Right? But the printing of books is also kirtan, because it's the physical manifestation of Srila Prabhupada's speaking. And of course Srila Prabhupada's kirtan is all about Krishna, right? Prabhupada was specifically empowered. Last week we were in the disciple course. One of the lessons in the disciple course is that we recognize that Srila Prabhupada is the empowered representative of Sri Chaitanya, right? And we know that because Srila Prabhupada fulfilled the order of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. And he instructed Prabhupada, if you ever get money, print books, right? And, of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur got that mood or that inspiration, if you like, from his father, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was the first in the Gaudiya line to print books. Of course, the Goswamis were doing it. They were instructed by Lord Chaitanya, only that in those days it took a long time to get a book copied. He didn't give books away because it took so long to create, you know, to write the Srimad Bhagavatam took a long time. So he didn't just go out and give it away, right? Because it took so long to. But in the modern age, Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur understood the potency of the printing press and the advantages that the devotees would be able to avail themselves of. Right? That one could print and print and print so many copies, Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita and Bhakti Rasamrita. So then by that printing we could get the association of the devotees, basically. And then in the association of the devotees, what do we get? We get to hear. It's on a subtle platform, but nevertheless as powerful as hearing directly from Srila Prabhupada. We can read his books. Right? We can hear from Krishna in the form of the Bhagavad Gita. We can hear from Narada Muni and so many Mahajans, great personalities in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this ability, or this facility that's afforded to us through hearing Shravana and Kirtan, and you know, Kirtan begins with Shravanam, right? This is our process. We hear Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Prabhupada didn't do any fancy tunes, right? No fancy tunes. Just, I was thinking about this yesterday. Prabhupada just chanted Hare Krishna very simply. And yet, deep absorption. And anybody who chanted Hare Krishna with Srila Prabhupada, also deep absorption in the holy name. And so then they're in ecstasy. Why are they in ecstasy? Because Krishna's personally present. Huh? And people wonder why the Hare Krishnas are so happy. Always happy. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, then we're happy. Why are we happy? Because we're with Krishna. And that means purified here. Right? Immediately. Because, you know, we go out on Harinam, sometimes we're a bit mopey. Right? But if we surrender to the chanting of and hearing the sound of Krishna's name, then, you know, within a few minutes. And of course, Prabhupada does say here, he says, of course, that depends on the individual process of chanting. Right? Because that's some caste brahmanas remark that by chanting Hare Krishna, purification begins. Right? But of course here it's, and as I mentioned before, immediately is in italics, right? So that means, you know, don't think that it's not. You know, it takes some time. But it might take a little bit of time because of our individual chanting, and we have to be kind of shaken out of our slumber. And then we kind of wake up and then we realise, whoa, this is it. Krishna's here. That's quite a shock. You know, because, at least for me, it was quite a shock when the devotee who was preaching to me, got me to chant 16 rounds. And so we went to the Sunday feast, and the devotee, I can't remember, I think it was Sikhi Puja, I can't remember exact details, but he asked me, he said, can you chant Hare Krishna? I said, yeah, sure, I can chant Hare Krishna. He said, all right, you've got to chant 16 rounds. So I said, oh, okay, all right, what's that? And he told me what 16 rounds. I said, yeah, sure, no worries. So we took our beads home and we started chanting. And then the next week we came back to the Sunday feast, and he asked me, are you chanting 16 rounds? I said, yep. He said, all right, now you've got to come for the morning program. You've got to come for Mangalati. So we said, oh, all right. So that next morning, it was Julan Yatra, the beginning of Julan Yatra. And the devotee said, you should come to Mangalati because we'll be swinging Radha and Krishna. So we thought, whoa, that's pretty far out. So we got to the temple, and I was, well, so I wasn't sure what I was to expect. And then the devotees had a picture of, a BBT picture of Radha and Krishna hanging from the ceiling, and we swung that picture at Mangalati. So anyway, after that, we were chanting in the temple room and chanting japa. And I was walking around Tulsi. And then all of a sudden I got this profound experience that I was with Krishna. You know, so all of a sudden I could hear the holy name and there was nothing else in the creation. It was just this, like, boom, I was hit by the holy name. Of course, it only lasted for a moment. But wow, that was far out. What was that? Huh? And I thought, he's here. It's real. Huh? Got this deep. Because then it went away. I'm spending the rest of my life trying to get back to where I started. But we shouldn't be doubtful, because it says here, sadhya, immediately. Right? And we see it when the devotees go out on Harinam and they're chanting Hare Krishna, then they're deeply absorbed and enlivened, because we experience this connection with Krishna many times throughout the day, even throughout our lives. But this is the importance of the Sankirtan movement, the Sankirtan mission, and the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. Because it gives people an opportunity to be immediately affected by the presence of the Lord. And it has great potency. The somebody hearing the name of Krishna, Namadeya Shavananu Kirtanad, is immediately challenged in one sense, but not only that, it's devotional service, agyata sukriti. This is why the ears are so important, right? You can be performing devotional service unknowingly, even unwillingly, in the beginning, right? There's a story of a devotee, Prabhupada disciple, Giridhari Rupa from New Zealand, who used to work in a vegetable shop. So he used to throw rotten fruit and vegetables at the devotees. The Hare Krishnas, you know, in the beginning. That's the beginning. In the end, the joke was on him. He said, these Hare Krishnas, why are they... And you know, there's that story of the devotees in New York who used to chant in the parks and the vendors, you know, the hot dog and other vendors, they used to criticize and complain and shout at the devotees. You know, why are you coming here and disturbing the peace? But after some time, the devotees stopped coming because they were on book distribution. They started distributing books. And then some years later, they came back to the park. They were chanting Hare Krishna and the street vendors were saying, "Where have you been? What are you doing? Where have you been? We miss you." And even people say that today. Where have you been? What are you doing? So they get it. Even though in the beginning there's some initial, these Hare Krishnas, people become accustomed to hearing the name and they become, there's an attraction. You know, the rejection is the opposite side of attraction. Eventually people become purified. It is exceptionally well. It is Krishna himself. So, what to speak of those who are directly in the presence of the Lord? So, and here Prabhupada says there's a point here that. Even a person born in a low-class family, right? And here, the lowest is described Sva Adaha. Sva. Sva. A dog-eater. Right? A dog-eater. We couldn't think of anything. There was an article in the in the ABC, I think it's still on their website, about how people in Bali are being tricked into eating dogs. Satay, they have those satay sticks with... Yeah, not very nice. You go on the beach in Bali, you walk down the beach and you see these people selling, cooking these things and selling. It's like... Hare Krishna. So they kill the dogs. There's dogs all over the place. It's a bit like India. There's dogs everywhere. And so in the villages, in some of the villages, they round the dogs up and then they kill them. And, Hare Krishna. Not very nice. But even if you're accustomed to... here it says, even if you're accustomed to eating dogs, if by chanting the holy name one becomes swiftly cleared of all the reactions, then he be immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And you can see that Srila Prabhupada had great faith and conviction in these statements from the Bhagavatam. Immediately in italics, become eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. And what's the purpose of performing Vedic sacrifices? What's the purpose? Not always. Not always. Yeah. But ultimately, the purpose of the Vedic sacrifices is to bring us to the point of devotional service. Right? Through purification, and if you're performing Vedic sacrifices, really that means you're associating with the Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas are meant to be learned. Right? Brahmana is supposed to be the head of society. Of the social body, the Brahmanas make up the head, the mouth, the face, right? The face, mukha, the face. And the Brahmanas eat on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? Brahmanas are fed first, right? That's why it's good to be a Brahmana. You can sit at the head of the queue. But the Brahmanas are supposed to be learned. Vidvan. Learned. Studied. Having studied the Vedas. That's their... What is it? Patan. Yajan. Dadati Pratigraha. Something. Six duties of a Brahmana. Study the scripture. Teach the scripture. Perform sacrifices, teach others to perform sacrifices, give in charity, receive in charity, and they give their knowledge charitably, right? For the benefit of others. And that's why people give in charity to the Brahmanas, not just because they're a Brahmana, right? But because they're giving knowledge, they're giving learning. And what's the highest learning? The highest learning is to know that you're not the body. This is fairly simple, but this is the most elevated of understandings. This is the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. You're not the body. Tahinosmin yata dehe komaram jovanam jara tata dehantara praptis dhirastatra namuyati. That we're not the body, that the material energy is always shifting and changing, but we remain the same. And we shouldn't lament the coming and going of comings and goings of material existence. And how to come to that point? Right? That's the to be tolerant and to be transcend the comings and goings of material existence, to understand one's spiritual identity, and then and to act on that platform. And so the brahmanas should be giving that process. Here's how you get to this point of transcendence. Get above the gross material, get above the subtle material, the workings of the mind and the senses, and come to that point of spiritual action, even in the material world. That's proper learning. And the performance of these Vedic sacrifices ultimately is to elevate us to the point. And that's why in this day and age that the sacrifice is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because that's how you get there. Right? By associating with Krishna in the form of his name, then chunk, you know, it's like a rocket, you know, like Prabhupada says, the process of bhakti is one where you don't have to walk up all the stairs, right? You just hop in at the ground floor. You can start at the ground floor, any floor for that matter, right? And press the button to the top and cling straight to the top floor, right? Even if you're not qualified, even if you're a dog eater or a cow eater, we would think that a cow eater is worse than a dog eater, right? But anyone, assuming that we're not qualified, we can be automatically elevated. This is the potency, the power. So it doesn't matter. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, all of these things are inconsequential because the whole purpose of studying the Veda, what is it? Vedanta Krid, Veda Vid, Eva Chaham, right? The whole purpose of the study of the Vedanta and the study of the Vedas and performing sacrifices and whatever is come to the point of knowing Krishna. And then when you know Krishna, then automatically you're going to be elevated, as Devahuti says here. Somebody who sees you face to face, they already got the benefits. That's the purpose of life, is to be with Krishna. And we get that immediately just by Sravana Anukirtanad. And of course, by following that process, then, Pravanat. And this is Manmana Baba Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru, right? Offer one's obeisances. This is part of the surrendering process, right? Bowing down. Prabhupada, it's the story of the devotee who said to Prabhupada, I don't feel like bowing down. And Prabhupada said, just do it, right? Just do it. And then you'll feel it. Right? When we bow down, how do we feel?
Humble.
Yeah, well, ideally, yes. Humble. Krishna, I am yours.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Where are you going, Abhay? What plans have you got? Prasadam time, probably. So, pravanat, yatsmaranat, right? When we realize that we're Krishna's servant, then we bow down, Trinadupi sunichena taroreva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtanaya sadahari. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're feeling very jubilant and excited, joyful, but also respectful to everyone, even the dog eater and all the other crazy people that you see on the streets of Melbourne. Right? Melbourne is such a livable city. We're the most livable city that you can sleep on the streets here. Huh? And you're at home. Huh? So, devotees, even if they're disrespectful, the devotees are still respectful. Although, you know, there are a few demons, you know, like that guy who sells the what's it called? The big issue. And he's always scowling and, you know. Yeah. Takes a while for some. We offer our respects by keeping a distance. But it's, and of course one shouldn't become puffed up. Oh, you know, now I'm better than a brahmana, right? By chanting Hare Krishna, now I'm better than a brahmana. You should worship me, you rascal, big issue, walla, right? And he should be. They should be respectful to the devotees because of that. Because they're carrying Krishna and they're bringing Krishna to everybody. This is why one should be respectful of the devotees. And why that's what we it's not just acquiring learning and becoming a brahmana, learned, right? But one should give it away, distribute it liberally to others. Because that's patan patan, right? Studying the scripture, then giving it to others. Chanting Hare Krishna and then giving it to others. Because this is the jagya, right? This is the what is it? Krishnavanam, Twisha Krishnam, Sango, what is that verse? I can usually remember these. How does it start? What's the first line? Twisha Krishnam. Krishnavanam, Twisha Krishnam, Sango, Sanga. Oh, I can't remember it. I can't remember. But anyway, it's the jagya for the age. And the devotees who deliver that it's pretty amazing really. Harinam Kirtan, Sankirtan is the jagya for the age, and those who deliver it to others, they're the highest of the devotees. And they show the greatest understanding of the Vedas. It's that simple. It's quite amazing, really, when you think about it. And so, you know, in the early days of Krishna consciousness, not everybody was particularly philosophically learned, right? But they delivered the holy name to everybody, and so therefore they were on the topmost platform, even though they weren't necessarily big pundits. You don't have to be. In fact, being a big pundit may be a detriment, right? And so, you know, we see it. Sometimes devotees become, well, we get absorbed in so many things and then we don't go out and chant Hare Krishna. And then we miss the great opportunities that come from Harinam Sankirtan. And we miss the opportunity to be engaged in the topmost merciful activity of distributing Krishna prema, love of Krishna to others. That's really, that in effect is what we're able to, is what we're given, right? The Chanting of Hare Krishna is one of those devotional activities that one experiences Krishna Prem, even if you don't have faith in it. Right? You don't even have to have faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna. Just like sometimes we see, we're on a sankirtan, and then, you know, from 50 meters away, somebody comes running towards the sankirtan party. Right? And, you know, from my experience from in the late 70s and early 80s, that you had to keep an eye on those people because they might just come and kick you. But they come to, they're so upset, they're running towards you, they want to... And then all of a sudden they just run and jump into kirtan and start dancing with you. And even they chant Hare Krishna, but they don't even know the mantra. But they're trying to chant, right? And they're obviously having a good time. We thought, oh, hang on, what's this guy up to? And then we're surprised when all of a sudden he just starts dancing with the devotees. Then you realise, whoo, this guy's got the higher taste, right? So we take it, and we don't know, we don't even know our own potency. Not that, but actually it's not us. It's actually Krishna who's working through the devotees. That's the amazing thing. It's not us. It's Krishna. And so we're delivering Krishna to others and experiencing that prema ourselves, Krishna prema. And in the process, delivering to others. And so that's Mahavadanyaya. That is greatly magnificent. Is it? Munificent. Magnanimous is the word. Yeah? Magnanimous. That's giving the highest gift. You can't give anybody anything more valuable than Krishna. And we just go, you know, what are we? Who are we? Right? But on the order of Prabhupada, we go out and chant Hare Krishna. And then we see Krishna enlivening and enlightening and manifesting in the hearts of others. He's in our hearts. We go, wow, that's far out. And then we see also in the hearts of others, and that's even more far out. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? Right? I remember I told this story the other day. There was, when I was in Perth, a couple of years ago, and there was me and Sridharam and Manavardhana and Bhakta Brian and the book distributor. I've forgotten his name. Amiatma. Right, so we're all over 50 at least. Well, I was thinking, this is embarrassing. Here we are, all these old guys going out and chanting Hare Krishna. Who's going to be, you know, who's going to be attracted to us? That's what I was thinking. And I was getting a little bit on the mental platform, but after, you know, 30 seconds or however long it was, we're all happily chanting Hare Krishna. it was, you know, we just off the bodily concept of life and just on into Vaikuntha, basically chanting Hare Krishna. And then in Perth, the mall is kind of like two streets. The mall, there's a block of shops, and then Hay Street Mall's here, and then there's another street, and it's basically a mall also. So you go around, you can go around the mall, right? So we came in from the railway station, then we went around. Then by the time we got back to the Hay Street Mall, there was 20 or 30 20-year-olds all chanting Hare Krishna. They got their hands in the air. I thought, well, there you go. It's not us, obviously. This is Krishna. Because otherwise, who's going to be attracted to this bunch of old fools? Right? Or at least I was feeling like that. So the performance of Sankirtan is just so powerful and so enlivening and so practical in many respects. Prabhupada point, and this is this just immediately arrives from this performance of Sankirtan by the association of the holy name. And you know, to get to that point by following the Vedic paradigm, which is gradually, you know, Sudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmana. Then even as a Brahmana, Prabhupada points out here, even as a Brahmana, you've then still got to go through the 10 reformatory processes, right? There's different samskaras. And Atul Krishna was making a point the other day that, you know, then you have to come to the point of sannyas, right? Then you have to perform the duties of a sannyasi for 100 births, isn't it? Before you can be elevated to Brahmaloka. And then when Lord Brahma eventually goes back home, back to Godhead, then you go with him. Right, so there's this whole Vedic process. Right? And we just, that whole Vedic process is just bonk, immediately surpassed by once chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is why we don't appreciate what we've got sometimes. We've got this explosive, you know, mantra. It just shatters material existence, you know, gone. Material existence gone just by chanting Hare Krishna. What rascals. Well, what a rascal. You're obviously not. I'm prophecy. As Sridhar Swami says, Pujat Twam. Pujat Twam. He immediately becomes as respectable as a most learned Brahmana and can be allowed to perform Vedic sacrifices. Huh? You know, sometimes I'm doing a puja or whatever and I'm just reading from the book. I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. Not even chanting the mantras properly. Huh? But it doesn't matter. And of course, we shouldn't take advantage of these things. So I'm chanting Hare Krishna, therefore I can do what I like. Right? We should act like brahmanas. Our Prabhupada says, don't make a farce. But, you know. So, and Prabhupada makes this, you know, and even the brahmanas. How do we know if they're even a Brahmana? We don't even know if their fathers are Brahmanas. Right? And yeah, Prabhupada says here, no one knows if a man is factually born of a Brahman father, because that has other ramifications or connotations. Many interesting things in here. Prabhupada says here, whether one has acquired the qualification of a brahmana depends on the judgment of the bona fide spiritual master. Right? And how does he do that? How does he do that?
By observing the activities of the person.
And judging them. He can see. The bona fide spiritual master can see the qualities of a brahmana in a qualified person, basically. And so therefore gives the sacred thread, and Prabhupada makes a point here, the reason why the spiritual master gives the sacred thread, he's referring to himself, is to show others that automatically the qualities of a brahmana are in that of a Vaishnava. Right, that's the point. Now if we're not showing, evincing the qualities of a Brahmana, that means we're not a fully purified Vaishnava. Right? But if one follows the process, and what's our process? We're not following the Vedic process, but Prabhupada mentions here we're following the Pancharatrika system. Right? And so by the regular chanting of Hare Krishna, by the sadhana bhakti that's recommended by Rupa Goswami, worship of the deities, and our process, it runs on two rails, right? Prabhupada makes a point. There's the Bhagavat Vidhi, which is the hearing and chanting and the chanting of Hare Krishna, and then there's the Pantaratrika Vidhi, which is the worship of the deities, more or less. They go together. Right? And why temple worship is so important for us. You know, sometimes the devotees say, oh, preaching's more important. Preaching is important, yes. But part of the preaching is worship of the deity. If you don't keep the temple clean and you go out and preach, then where's your preaching? Useless. But why Prabhupada puts so much emphasis on deity worship? Because from... And Prabhupada makes a point that you know, why isn't it that when we chant Hare Krishna, then immediately we're on the Brahmini, you know, we're on the supercharged spiritual platform? It's because we're conditioned souls, and we tend to fall back, right? The mechanism or the support for keeping us up on the Brahminical platform is the worship of the deity. Very important. And so they go together. The Bhagavat Vidhi goes with the Pancharatrika Vidhi. And that very quickly brings a person to the point of having the qualification of a brahmana because of our sadhana practice. And the sadhana practice includes for the sadhikas is worship of the deity. Get up early, Mangalati. Well, get up early, have a shower, right? Clean your teeth. This is the beginning. Clean. Then put on the tilak and chant your mantras and so forth. Then worship the deity. So... when one follows that practice, 6 months, 12 months, not very long, then one will show all of the qualifications of a brahmana. Really, because the bhakti process is so powerful that one elevated very quickly. Okay, I should finish here. It's 5 to 9. And there's more. There's more can be said about this. But anyway, very interesting. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, my dear Prabhu. Bhishmadev was a devotee. Why did the Lord want to kill him? What's that got to do with the class? Well, that is a very interesting question with a very interesting answer. Bhishmadev's relationship with Krishna is in the chivalrous rasa, right? He wanted to fight. He liked to fight with Krishna. That's his that's his service. Right? That's pretty far out, isn't it? You can serve God by fighting with him and he's happy. Now, how does it go? There are a number of... It's an intricate kind of a story, but do you know the answer to this question? You don't? Okay. You know, for me to do it justice, I should go away and... do a bit of study on the actual details of the story. But
what is the question?
Why did... If Bhishma Dev is a Mahajan, and a great devotee of Krishna, then why did Krishna attack him and want to kill him?
Right.
No, no, there's more. There's, well, yes. But you see, it's got to do, it hasn't it got to do with the fact that Duryodhana goaded Bhishmadev, right? Because they weren't winning, and Bhishmadev was the leader of the Kaurava army, and Duryodhana was frustrated because they weren't winning, and he said to Bhishmadev, "You're not really fighting hard because you're sentimentally attached to the Pandavas," right? Which was an affront to Bhishmadev, an insult. And so Bhishmadev said, he had five arrows, wasn't it? And he said, "These five arrows, these are for, each one of these is for the Pandavas." Right? So then Duryodhana said, "Okay, give me the arrows." But Duryodhana had been defeated, wasn't it, by some Gandharvas, that's right, in a forest somewhere. And Arjuna had liberated them. And so he said, "I owe you." And Arjuna said, "Okay, I'll take my benediction later." Right? So Krishna knew this. And so when Bhishmadev had given the arrows to Duryodhana, Krishna told Arjuna, "Now's the time to go and get your boon." Right? So then Arjuna went to Duryodhana and said, "Excuse me, but can you give me those five arrows?" So when Bhishmadev found out that Arjuna had taken the five arrows, that meant that his promise would not be fulfilled. His promise would be broken. Right? Got that? His promise would be broken. And that, you know, that was, he knew he'd been tricked. But that enraged him, you know, that just fired him up. So, and that's the rasa. That's the relationship that Bhishmadev enjoyed with Krishna, right? That mood. So I can't remember. Oh, okay, right. So then Bhishmadev vowed, you know, that I'll fight. I'll try to kill the Pandavas. In the fighting the next day, Bhishmadev had got to the point where he was about to kill Arjuna, isn't it?
Yes.
Right? Despite the fact that he didn't have the arrows. And Krishna, at that point, got off of his chariot and charged Bhishmadev with the wheel of a chariot, right? Even though he'd promised not to fight. Because Bhishmadev was so determined to fulfill his promise, he more or less forced Krishna to break his promise and fight, right? But of course, he wasn't breaking his promise because he was protecting the... His promise was, Kunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranasyati. So he was protecting his devotee, but at the same time, he was fulfilling Bhishma's desire, his rasa, you know, his, what do you call it? His siddha deha, if you like. Is that what you can call it? That his rasa was to fight with Krishna. And Krishna wasn't unhappy about that. Krishna was very pleased. And he, it's described in the Bhagavatam how Bhishma Dev's firing of arrows at Krishna's body was like the off. It was like the love bites of the gopis, as it was described. Right? You know, sometimes the gopis will kiss Krishna and bite him, right? And he that's accepted as a sign of love, affection. You know, when you chew your dad's ear, right? when you're a baby, you ever do that? My dad used to chew my ear. So I chew his ear. That's a sign of affection. Although, you know, if you chew somebody's ear, that could be seen as a sign of aggression, right? You know, there was that fight between, what was his name? Mike Tyson. And he bit his ear, right? Nobody could believe it. What are you doing? He just bit his ear and then he did it twice. So when you want to chew somebody's ear off, that's like, you know, that's a great, that's aggression. But in affectionate dealings, it's a sign of love. So Krishna is described how Krishna accepted the arrows fired by Bhishma Dev just like he would accept the love bites of the gopis. Amazing. Amazing stuff. So that pastime is quite a meditation. Really, when you think about it, that Bhishma Dev fought so, and he said, actually, he said, "I'll force Krishna to break his promise tomorrow," right? By, because he knew he was such a great devotee. He knew that. Krishna would not allow him to kill the Pandavas. He knew that. Right? He knew that. Krishna wouldn't. So he said, "I'll force Krishna to break his promise and he'll fight." And of course, that's because he was egged on, or he was challenged, goaded by Duryodhana. And it brought out this effect, you know, Bhishma Dev's pure devotion to Krishna, actually. And it's an interesting story because it shows the power of association, how even the devotees have to be careful. The reason why Bhishma Dev was conflicted, if you like, in his allegiance to Duryodhana and others was because Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra and the Kauravas, they had the strings of the purse, right? They had the money, Prabhupada says. They had the money. And they were maintaining them. They were maintaining Bhishma Dev, and they were all living in the palace. And they had control of the treasury, and they were maintained by the Kauravas. And so they were obliged by that association to side with the Kauravas against Krishna, even though Bhishma Dev is such a great devotee. But of course, you know, that relationship, that circumstance, if you like, is part of the Leela. So it has to be appreciated in that way. But it does show the power of association. Even the Bhagavad Gita at the beginning, Dhritarashtra's concern was, what happened? What did the boys do? When they got to Kurukshetra, it's a sacred place, the Pandavas are great devotees. How did the influence of the place affect them? And so he was concerned about that sangha, that association. And so, you know, we see Bhishma Dev in this situation where he was actually fighting against Krishna. That would ordinarily be considered, well, you wouldn't do that. But he's a great devotee, and because of that rasa, that relationship, he was very happy to see Krishna coming towards him to kill him. It's pretty far out, huh? Does that answer the question? Yeah, something to meditate on. But we should meditate on Lord Kapila as well. Right? Because he's who we're studying today. And that Devahuti is appreciating the association of the Lord. And that one can have that association just by hearing. Shravanad Anukirtanad. What is it? Hearing and chanting, remembering and offering obeisances. Pravanat. Right? And that's Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Although, you know, it's not mentioned, the sacrifice here, but of course the sacrifice is chanting Hare Krishna, so kirtanam. It's there. Kirtan for us is the Sankirtan for us is the Jagya. Right? Kalo tadhari kirtanat. That's how we do it. Okay. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Kapila Dev ki jai. Sri Devahuti Maharani ki jai.